Place in our hearts and minds an understanding that goes beyond our own, for our world needs more than we have as individuals. Amen. As we came to church today, the world was being recreated. Genesis tells us that God separated the waters from the dry land, but the waters are rising. Island nations that have supported life for thousands of years are disappearing. Some will be gone within 10 years. At the same time, drought in the Middle East has left farm fields in Syria barren and dry. Storms in Africa have flooded great swaths of land. Middle Eastern cities teemed with life are just masses of rubble. African fields that supported whole nations are unable to produce a crop. Tyrants fight proxy wars with one another, using smaller nations as battlegrounds. And desperate people band together under one banner or another. And families flee for their lives from wars and disasters. We are experiencing today the greatest human migration the world has ever seen. Nowhere in the world is unaffected by these changes. Nowhere in the world is unaffected by the displacement of millions and millions of people. Every aspect of our lives will be affected by this. I see a new heaven and a new earth, for the old one has passed away. Our climate has already changed. It will continue to change. It's impossible to underestimate the effect that this is having and will continue to have on our culture, our structures, our work lives, our home lives, whether we have lives, our communities, our families. There will be desperate situations, human crises, and human opportunities. The greatest factor that will affect our future are the moral choices that we make as societies, as communities, as nations. The great prophets of Israel called not just on individuals to make moral choices, but specifically called on their own nation to make moral choices. And they are specific in what those moral choices were. Isaiah began his call to the rulers of Israel this way: "Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow." The prophet Amos describes the sins that will destroy the nation. They sell the innocent for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as on the dust of the ground and deny justice to the oppressed. Fathers and sons use the same girl. The prophets speak of greed, of how the courts are used to trample the poor, how the rich lift their noses from the needy while covering themselves in gold jewelry. Moses called on the people not to oppress the alien who lives with them, who dwells with them, for they too were oppressed in Egypt. We read two stories today, which were put together in ancient times, though they come from different parts of the New Testament. The lectionary is a list of readings for each Sunday, and most of it was put together centuries ago. The story of the new heaven and the new earth in Revelation is paired with the story in the book of Acts, the story of the disciple Peter, a Jew, having a vision of a great banquet of foods he's not supposed to eat. And at first glance, they don't have a lot to do with each other, but there's a reason they were put together. In Peter's story, he has already been attacked by Jewish Christians for gathering together with non-Jews, for sharing a meal with people who are Gentiles, and perhaps were considered unclean for other reasons as well. Peter was still a good Jew. He himself observed the dietary laws, the rituals of cleansing and of purification. But that's not enough. His critics want him to stick to his own people. They want to reinforce the separation. Now, Peter himself is disturbed by this, for he was raised his whole life to keep separate. The banquet set before him in his vision is, of course, not really about food. It's about the whole idea of what purity is, what morality is, who God is, who Christ is, and who Christ is for. Separation of the people is the rule Peter has grown up with, and here he has a vision from God that tells him this is not God's will. God is the God of all people. Jesus, the Christ, is for all people. And because of that, we are bound in relationship to all people. It's really important hearing this story to know the end of this story, which happens later in Acts. It's important to hear that end of the story. Hearing Peter's revelation to know that Peter struggled with this all the rest of his life. Peter and Paul argued about it so much that a council of Christians was brought together to settle the argument. Though it's Peter who had the vision, ultimately, he couldn't bring himself to see it through. So the council decided that all the people in the world are called by God, followers of the way are called to work with all people, but Peter was sent to minister to the Jews, and it was agreed that Paul would be the emissary to the Gentiles. Even given this great vision by God, which he shared and he spoke about, Peter couldn't rid himself of the rules he'd been raised with to separate people one group from another. The writers of the lectionary knew all of that when they put those two stories together. The revelation, the book we call Revelation, was the vision of a new earth. The revelation to Peter of the great banquet of humanity. That these two things always go together. The new earth that comes about in the kingdom of God is an expression of the banquet of the whole human community, not separate from one another. We cannot underestimate the importance of that message in the ancient world, and we cannot underestimate that message in the world today. It is vitally important that we be able to speak as Christians, as people of faith, that the law of Moses, the prophets of our faith, the disciples and apostles and Christ himself all bring that same message, that the vision of God is made manifest in the world when we live together, not separating ourselves from one another, but loving our neighbor as ourselves. The religious rite inundates us with messages that argue that separation is what God wants. Men from women, girls from boys, race from race, dividing the religions, dividing classes, dividing ethnicities. Any possible division that can be named, community by community, sometimes street by street, is a point of pride in the religious right. It's so ubiquitous that the world has begun to cringe when they hear the words Christian values. When Christians speak about morality, the world is wise to be wary. A morality that justifies the separation of children from their parents while trumpeting the moral evil of same-sex marriage or changing the word compassion into a bad word. This is what the world too often hears when someone speaks of Christian values. But it is Christian values that build hospitals, that offers free English classes, that pushes for better mental health care, that speaks of greed as the source of all evil. This is the morality of faith, not just Christian faith, but this is the one that we own, that we can speak to. To see Christ in a stranger and see ourselves in a person in need. The new world is not coming. The new world is already here. It's being created in floods and fire and sword. Our moral choices as a society, as a nation, will determine whether we can create community within the changes and create corners of the kingdom in every part of this land. The kingdom of God, which Peter saw, is not a kingdom that's easy. It's not without challenge. It's certainly not without danger. The kingdom is the community we make within a dangerous and difficult world. We used to say that the future of our children depends on it. That's still true, but the truth is the time of trial is upon us now. The moral decisions we make are the foundation of our own future. It's not a faraway time. The time is at hand, and the work is ours. The vision of a banquet is before us. We need to speak to it faithfully as Christians in the communities where we live and in the nation in which we have responsibility, and to speak out against a vision of Christian morality that has nothing to do with faith. We have a vision before us that we can cling to. Speak to that. Amen.